Hallelujah. Let me get you a word, God's going to be. We're going to part two of surviving life storms. If you got your Bible, turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, the 19th verse. When you've got it, if you would stand one more time with me, and then we'll let you relax in his presence. And we're going to relax and let God take over anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. Luke 10:19. You don't have to stand. Some of us like to do that, and some of us need to be seated. That's fine. We're glad either way. All right, verse 19, one verse. Behold, or take notice, listen to this. I, Jesus, this is red letter in some Bibles, the words of Jesus signifying the Lord Jesus' words. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, somebody say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. Amen. That's a great promise. That's a powerful promise. Amen. It's our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Take your word, Father, and bless us with it. Help us in life storms. Speak to us a word today that will help us and that will minister to us. And let us know that we've heard a word from you today, Lord. Take over now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated in his presence. Jesus said, behold, I give you power, authority. Power here is authority, the right to command is that authority. And it's a power to tread. Tread means absolute mastery over all the power of the enemy. This is a powerful statement by Jesus speaking to us. He said, you don't have to have all power. Just the power I give you, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Over all, the second word power there is not the dunamis power, but it is defined as ability. You have power, absolute mastery over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you or hurt you. This is something that is given to us. Amen. Something he gives to us, not anything that we earn, not something we do in order to get it. Are you still there? It's not any of our performance that gets it. God has given us, behold, I give unto you authority to tread. Again, means absolute mastery. What kind of authority? Absolute mastery authority. And how many know Jesus couldn't lie, can't lie? If he said, I've given you mastery authority, then there's something about authority and the authority of the believer that I believe we have missed in the body of Christ. Amen. There's way too much stuff going on for most Splitfoot because many times we don't know the authority we have. Amen. And on the other hand, sometimes a lot of American Christians are a little bit lazy. Amen. Not you, of course. Amen. Yeah. Not me. But I think it's true probably a little bit of all of us. We have our comfort zones, do we not? And authority is not something that we have really had to exercise in our lives. We should have, because we've gone through some things that if we would have taken the authority God has given us and knew how to use that authority, we could have got through things a lot quicker. We could have stopped some things a lot faster. Amen. And we could have got the victory where we've had to go through some very debilitating circumstances. Hallelujah. And so now we're in a time where the storms of this hour, of this age, of this end time before Jesus comes, the storms are raging. They're getting greater and greater. The destruction is becoming more and more. And God said to me, he said, in this survival life storm, he says, the way you will survive life storms is the authority that I have given the believer. You will survive. But we want to look at this authority and what it means to us and how we can exercise it. He says absolute mastery, kind of authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Those are the types, they're types of demonic forces. Amen. And nothing, somebody say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. Well, I don't know you, but I've been hurt several times. How about you? Amen. And so in that hurt, it's hard not to be hurt if you're going to live in this life, but really, with that authority of Christ, even though we've been hurt, in the long run, it's not going to hurt you. Are you catching? in the long run. How many know we're not done yet? You're not through yet. Amen. Everything you've gone through is for a purpose. Amen. It's training for reigning. Amen. And it's to help us, because who has not been through some storms? Who is not maybe in a storm right now? Our world is stormy. Amen. And so we see that the Lord is speaking here to the storms of life. And it's not when you know and exercise that authority over the power, the ability of the enemy, the devil, but it's when you realize that ability, God has greater ability over the devil. And say with me real quick, I have authority, absolute mastery over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. That's a good confession. How many know that even though that may not be true in some areas, things are hurting you, that as you speak the confession, as you speak the word, which is powerful, amen, as you speak the word, how many know that that's how authority is released? How do you release the authority? It's through the spoken word. It's speaking God's word. You speaking the word releases authority. If you never speak authority, if you never speak the word, you will not release any authority, and all you will have is the authority of the dark side. And bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and all the things that go with that. Amen. And so the Lord is, the title of this series, the very words, the very three words there, as we have all been hurt in some way or another, surviving the storms, came to me a few weeks ago, just to give you a little background here. Just before I was rising early one morning, and I knew they were from God. How did I know? Well, the Bible says God is a spirit. And he speaks to us spirit to spirit. Amen. Our reborn spirit. And so he showed me later as I shared with you how Jesus' disciples survived last Sunday, a demonically influenced storm on the Sea of Galilee. If you were here, you remember that message. It was a couple weeks ago. Last week was Easter. We did a little something different last week. But that storm was meant to drown every one of them, including Jesus. Amen. Even though he was sleeping in the boat, and I won't go back over the message there, but it was a demonically influenced storm. We saw that because it was on the Sea of Galilee, and you don't have that kind of a tornado, that kind of a hurricane on that sea. I've been on that sea. There's not enough there to cause a hurricane like that. Had to be demonically influenced. How many know many of the storms in your life, what you've gone through, are not normal? They've been demonically influenced. And they are meant to kill you, to drown you, just like the disciples said, you know? And then Jesus tells them something that kind of shocked us, we saw. He says, how come you don't have any faith? What do you mean have any faith? I'm just trying to get some air, man. You know, we're blowing bubbles here, dude. Well, excuse me, I just didn't say dude, but you know what I mean. He says, why are you so fearful? Well, I'm so fearful because, as I told you, free Willy just went by. Jonah was in him. In Jaws, he wasn't far behind. Amen. So I thought that was kind of a strange question. Why are you so fearful? Why don't you have any faith? And that tells me, and we saw that God was speaking a word to us, and he's saying that we have been speaking to God about our problems. But God says you need to speak to your problems about your God. Because God said, I've given you the authority. And how many know when God gives the authority, he doesn't take it back. However you use that authority, God will one day judge how you use that authority as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as whoever. Amen. And so we saw the illustration just quickly about Edison. Amen. SCE. I hate to mention their name. I know you have bills. They provide the power. Amen. And it would be foolish of us. Jesus has provided the power. Behold, I give you power. We're waiting for him to do something that God is saying, I already gave you the power. How come you're calling me to turn the light on in your bedroom when I already got the power hooked up? Can you see that? It just doesn't make sense. I gave you the power to do it. You got under, we saw last week, the key word was flip the switch. Amen. But we really don't consciously comprehend that. And so we're waiting for something that's already been given, but we don't know how to exercise the authority of the believer that God has given us. And so we're learning that through our words and through Jesus. How did he do it? He said, peace be still to that storm. He said, quiet. He said, shut up. And they were amazed. They said, even the winds and the waves obey him. Well, how many know the same winds and waves that obeyed him will obey you? Christ is in you. The same authority he has, he's given us. We've got to speak to those storms. I said, we've got to speak to those storms that many times are threatening to sink us, to drown us. Amen. And so I'm learning. I don't know about you. I had to live this message after I preached it. I didn't realize that this message was for me too. Of course, they all are, but this one especially. Because right after that, a storm hit me that was, I know, demonic influenced. The flu was 1 week. Then the second week it went on. I got antibiotics the second week. Then after that one went, another one came. You ever had more than one thing come after something else left? That's demonic. That's the devil trying to sink your ship. And then the complication of the flu with lungs, amen, the coughing and the breathing caused a complication with another situation that I had diagnosed a year and a half before that, that I had a checkup, and they wanted me to go through the checkup on the heart and make sure, you know, the thing they put you through and all that, and come to find out that I had a valve that was only working 40%. And so the blood was not flowing like it should. And so combined with the flu and the lung situation with that, it became a very serious situation where I really sympathize with asthmatics. Breath is a good thing. Air is a wonderful thing. And when you can't get it, it's a scary thing. Amen. And so we're in the storm. All of a sudden, this thing has gone from bad to worse. I know that it's not normal. I know the enemy's working. And all of a sudden, really for the first time in my life, I had some nights where I couldn't sleep. Your body has to be able to rest to be able to move into sleep. And if it's struggling to get air, it's not going to come into a place of rest, I find out. Amen. And so you lay there for a few hours resting but never sleeping. Thank God for his strength. I tell you, God's with us. Sometimes you think you can't go through something or what you would do if you didn't get such and such, but God is there to help us through it. Amen. And so we're dealing with this complication. We got a situation. Amen. And so I'm just thanking the God, praising God, using my authority, and catching some air. Hallelujah. Now thank God it wasn't 24/7. Amen. But when it gets to a place where you can't hardly pick up something, and you realize, man, I'm in trouble. You ever been in a place where you realize I'm in trouble? You don't tell anybody, really. You just know that you're going to need some help. Amen. And so they prescribed some prescription for me a year and a half before. And as I had a doctor's wife tell me that we had friends with family some months ago, I just mentioned to her I'd gone since her husband was a doctor at Paradise Springs. And she said, I said, yeah, I just didn't feel, I didn't want the side effects or anything. I just didn't feel like I was supposed to be sick. She says, oh, yeah, all men feel that way. They last about 5 years. I said, the devil is a liar. I was up there fishing with Julian, letting Julian do a little fishing, and Christopher, amen. And I said, 5 years. Well, I didn't think any more about it, but come here a while later, I'm thinking, no, I'm going to last more than five years. But I'm thinking, well, maybe that doctor knew something. Huh? You think? And maybe I need to go back to cardiologist, and you know, the Lord has a way of kind of touching, because we want to walk in faith. Amen. I felt pretty good at that time. I mean, we were still having some symptoms, but it wasn't anything, you know, major. And so I thought, well, it was a few weeks ago. We were visiting somebody that had just had surgery, one of the ladies here, and Dr. Kumar was in the elevator, the cardiologist. Now, what are the chances that the cardiologist, who is super busy, going to be in that elevator, in that hospital? Amen. And it's starting to roll around here a little bit. Maybe God is saying something to me. You ever kind of feel like maybe God is saying something to you? And then if God misses it, our oldest daughter will make sure that I hear it, which I thank God for her. Amen. Amen. And but let me know, we're all pretty secretive, pretty private. Amen. We don't put our business out, so we do what we have to do. Amen. But I'm thinking, well, maybe God is saying something to me and I need to get another referral, and maybe I'm going to have to take this stuff to help me out a little bit. Amen. And then I find out I got two brothers that are also having the same condition, has 30%. and a brother-in-law was having some problems too. And I thought, this is just too much coincidence. We are in a demonic storm. Amen. And God will now help us with that authority and with wisdom to move through it, because I'm not accepting any 5-year sentence. But sometimes you're not going to have a choice to accept it if you don't get smart. Used to love the program Get Smart on TV. Amen. That was kind of me in that telephone booth. Amen. I mean, you know, it's amazing how transparency brings us closer. See, you look at this guy up here with the microphone. You know, he's in another world. And you're thinking he don't go through anything. But how many know we all go through some things? Yeah. Yeah. And so transparency brings us closer. And God is helping all of us, no matter who we are or what station we have in life. Amen. Bible says God is a spirit. Amen. And so we see that Jesus spoke to that storm. And he tells us, where's your faith? You need to speak to the storm. You need to speak to your storm. Huh? Amen. And so we want to look at that just for a little bit. Little did I realize that I was where I was heading. But after a while, you know you are here. Amen. I saw a little cartoon about Jonah, and he was in the whale. And Jonah was standing up in the whale's belly, and he had a little candlelight. And on the wall of the whale was a little sign that said, "You are here." Yeah, yeah. It's something when we realize you are here, and we're going to have to do something about this. Amen. And God has already done something about it, and he's here to help us as we go forward. Amen. Thus, we have some on-the-job training, amen, to use our authority. And the Lord, knowing that most don't know the authority we have as a believer, and if they do know, they don't use it. Amen. And again, I tell you, we Americans, we're a bit lazy spiritually. We want God to do it all, or somebody else. But you surely are not asking me. Amen. And so we got on-the-job training here. And how many know we're going to need that? We got to get through this, because there's some storms coming. We're going to have to begin to exercise this, because there's storms coming on the horizon. They're going to be much more severe, I pray, I fear, than what we're dealing with right now. Amen. Our world is getting ready, and as the kingdoms are begin to crumble to the kingdom of our God, and the devil doesn't like it. And he has determined to kill everybody that he can. Can you see that spirit in our world? Kill every Christian, kill every Jew, kill every Muslim that doesn't go by what they think. The devil, the Bible says, was a murderer from the beginning, a liar and a murderer. And how people, the Bible says, in the last days, they think by killing you, they're doing God a service. Is that deceived or what? And what a shock when they get there and the 72 virgins ain't there. That's pride and arrogance right there. I think you can do anything with more than one virgin. Come on. 72. You got to be kidding. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm a survivor. Yeah, I've survived in storms that have or are threatening to take down physically, spiritually, financially, maritally, emotionally, socially, and all the other alleys. Alley, financially. Spiritually, physically, the great fighter, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, got some great fights. We got some great fighters in here today. Amen. That have are surviving some vicious demonic storms. We had a mother and sister just went on to be with the Lord that was in a tremendous fight. Amen. And fought a good fight. Hallelujah. Finished a course. And for their life in areas I just mentioned, tell somebody next to you, you look pretty good for all the hell of storms you've been through. You look pretty good for all the hell you've been through. Oh, you didn't mean that, did you? Look at them again and tell them like you mean it. Say, you look pretty good for all the hell you've been through. All the storms you've been through. You've been through some storms. Woo! You've been through some storms. Have we been through some storms? And some are still going through them. Vicious storms. I mean, demonic. What is happening to some people? The way they're treated, the physical things, the emotional things, the marital, financial, whatever it is. If you want to know that's true, just talk to Deaconess Cheryl. Amen. You survive the storms that threaten to take you down spiritually, emotionally, socially, however. A great fight. Amen. And now we have to be precise with that ability that God has given us and know what is Satan's ability, because as I give you power over all the ability of the devil, his ability. So we've got to find out what the ability is that God has given us and know what is Satan's ability. But you know, there's a problem. When we speak of serpents and scorpions, which speak of demonic powers, and God giving us power over all those demonic forces, we kind of get a little squeamish. Amen. Most of us have a picture of Hollywood here. We have a picture of Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist and Chucky and all them other things. Silence of the Lambs, I haven't seen that. No, I'm not watching that. I fight enough devils and sit there and be entertained by them. Come on. And so when we talk about demonic forces, everybody's thinking, you know, they're thinking Hollywood. But we're not going there. We're talking about God is talking about authority over Satan's influence. Somebody say influence. We're talking about influence this morning. Whose influence are we under? And how many know all of us are under the influence of something, someone, or someones, or some things? Probably a combination. I don't know. I'm not God, so I have to leave that with God. But how many know you can be under God's influence? You can be God-influenced. But it all comes down to influence. What is Satan's ability? It's his ability to influence you and me. That's the ability God's given us power over. And it's amazing the ability Satan has to influence us in our lives, in our daily lives, our relationships, in every area of our lives. There are things we can do in this physical world than through lives, and then there are certain things that we can't do. Amen? There's things he can do through the physical world. There's things he can't do. And so we have to identify the ability, the power that we have, absolute mastery over, Jesus said. I give you power, behold, over all the power of the devil. I give you power over his power to try and drown you, try and take you out, take your children out, take your pastor out, take your brother, your sister out, your mother, your father, your brother. I give you power. I give you mastery over. And if you would now, go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6. Amen. Are you getting anything yet? Somebody shout influence. Yeah, influence. Ephesians 6, just three verses here. Ephesians 6 chapter, verse 10, 11, and 12. And this is going to be amazing. I wouldn't say radical, but different. But remember, we are talking about authority over Satan's influence. Huh? And how many obviously can see his influence in our world today? And not just in our world, sometimes in our world. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the 10th verse. Finally, my brother, my sister, there's not a word like that, but brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our might. You can't be strong in the power of your might. That will only take you so far. Be strong in the power of his might. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. I may know that's the word. The word is the armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's pretty wily, ain't he? We used to watch Wile E. Coyote when we were kids. Yeah. I wish it was just that. For we wrestle not. Somebody say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul is giving us an expose here of what we're dealing with, recognizing this influence where we wrestle not. What are you wrestling with? We all wrestle with something. Amen? Unless you know, you will not respond like you should. Because a lot of times we think we're wrestling with flesh and blood, and we're responding to the influence of people, and the enemy wants us to be engaged in that battle, when actually we are engaged in a struggle with demonic entities and a hierarchy that is laid out here for us that is no joke. How many could say what I've been through is no joke? No laughing matter. There's nothing to laugh about here. Amen. Nothing to make light of what you've been through. and the storms that you've encountered in your life to this point in your life. And unless you know again, you will not respond like you should if you don't understand what you are dealing with. And we think our battle is with people, flesh and blood. That's the wrong battle, and you'll never get what you want out of that battle as long as you fight flesh and blood, as long as you fight people. All you'll get is bitterness, resentment, and all the other garbage that people can do. Amen. The enemy wants to influence your thought and my thought through a hierarchy of demonic entities more than we realize. And two things he's trying to do here, where we identify his ability. We're identifying his ability, are we not? Because we have ability over him, power over his ability. Number one is he's trying to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. His influence over you, if you've been influenced, and if you have stopped doing what God wants you to do, you are under his influence. He has already influenced you. You've already been fighting flesh and blood, probably your own flesh and blood. Come on, some of the flesh and blood I fight the most is this flesh and blood. It ain't you, it's me. Amen. Oh, you help it along some. Yes, you do. Look at somebody next to you and say, you may have gotten on my nerve. I know you have at least once. You've helped it along. Yeah. Because sometimes the influence you've done has been the devil. Amen. I may know people act like devils sometimes. You ever had people talk to you like a devil? Run you down talking devil talk. Telling you what you're not, putting you down. I mean, all that's devil talk. Whenever you hear that, you need to put a screen up. You need to put your window up and say, that's devil talk. I don't receive that. Anytime the devil doesn't use people, he'll use you. He'll come up, talk to you. You're not this, you're not that, you're this, you're that. You need to put your spiritual window up and say, devil, I don't receive that. That's devil talk. God doesn't talk to me about that. God doesn't talk like that about me. I'm not going to talk about myself like that. Because I'm not fighting my flesh and blood, although I have to keep my flesh under, but I'm going to do it with the authority in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we're seeing number one, he's trying to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And how many know he's pretty effective with it? Come on. Thank God for the person that says, I'm going to do what God called me to do. Come hell or high water. I don't care who likes it, who don't like it. I'm going to be here. I'm the father. I'm the mother. I'm the grandfather. I'm the pastor. I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm going to be here. When the smoke clears, you're going to see my smiling face. You ain't getting rid of me. I know you'd like to. Not me, of course. Not lovable me. Not lovable you. But some of them other yous. The two things he's trying to do is what? Number one, he's trying to stop you from what? Being what God wants you to be and doing what God has called you to do. That is his influence. That's what he works on 24 hours a day. That's why he's trying to steal your faith. That's why he's trying to cause all the trials and tribulation to get you to back off. Back off from that church. Don't go to church. Don't give. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't read your Bible. Forget the whole mess. It don't work anyway. And we're human. I said, we're human. And we fall for it. And we say, hey, I've been there. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to sit down on God. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing. And if you ain't done nothing better than this, I'm not saying I'm walking out on you, but I'm close. Come on, we're talking about real. If you watch the movie Miracles from Heaven, what a powerful. If you haven't seen it, man, go see it. I've seen it twice already. I think you don't remember. She went through a faith crisis with people in the church, with her own situation, with God. It's tough to understand things God does sometimes and why he doesn't change some things and why he's letting this go on so dang long. I tell you, it's enough to make a preacher cuss. No wonder you cuss sometimes. I don't judge nobody. I said, I don't judge nobody. If I was going through what you're going through, I'd be cussing too. Because we are human. As much as we like to play that we're not on Sunday morning, we all come in looking like angels, straighten up our halos. Now, I learned a long time ago as a pastor that I had to let the halo go because the halo slipped one day and choked me almost to death. And see, people want to put you on a pedestal. They want to put you on a pedestal. They want somebody that, even though I can't do it, I want somebody who will do it. Even though I'm not praying, I want you praying. But I learned on a pedestal, every way off is down. So don't let nobody put me on a pedestal. I'm in this with you. That's why I shared with you and was vulnerable with what's been going on. Amen. And that we're in a struggle together. But thank God for Jesus. Woo, thank God he's there to help us. I don't know how long this is going to go on, but I'm going to praise him. Amen. I'm going to thank him for the strength I got today, even though I couldn't sleep last night, not a wink. Well, I did sleep last night. I slept last night for the first time. It was pretty good. Got about 3 hours. Amen. But see, God's blessed me. I can go on a little bit. Some of you all need 6, 7, 8 hours. Some need 12. Hey, whatever your system is. They say normal 7 or 8. If I got 7 or 8, I'd never get out of bed. But that's the normal. Amen. Then some are morning people and some are not. And we've been over that. People that are not hate morning people who are. I mean hate with a vengeance. Hallelujah. Number two. Somebody say number two. Secondly, he's trying to find an inroad into your life whereby he can take the word, God's word, from you. He's looking for an inroad. He's going to find something to get you out of where you're in. And how many can think back and think where the devil did that, influenced you? Somebody said something, somebody did something. Sometimes they didn't even know what they did. Is this message getting hot? Are you all comfortable? Okay. It's not too hot in here for you? Okay. Just the preacher's hot under the collar right now. Okay. Hallelujah. It gets hotter up here, and sometimes I think it's hot, so we get all the refrigeration. Everybody's out there going, Pastor's doing just fine. Amen. He's really got a heart, that guy. Amen. So he's trying to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And secondly, he's trying to find an inroad into your life where he can take the word from you. Because the word is what the power is. The devil fears the word. It's the word that overcame him, the living word. If he can get you out of the word, he can get you. That's why it's such a struggle to get in the word, to find time. Amen. To make time. And so people who get fed the word, how many know they're number one targets? Because he's got to steal that word from you, because he's always after your mind and your heart. The battleground is the mind. There's a series by Ron Carpenter coming up. We're going to be showing it after the First Fruit series on the mind. Wow. Whoo. Man. It's a miracle any of us still have our minds. Because some of you have blown our minds. Shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Look at somebody else and say, he said that. I didn't say that. Don't give me no snake eyes, because I didn't say that. Preacher, give him snake eyes. Amen. Uh-huh. You got to steal that word from you. Because it's after your mind and your heart. He wants to influence your mind and your heart. Whew. If he can get either one of them, he can take the word out of your heart. And he can infect your thinking and influence what comes under the influence. It is influence. Somebody shout influence. Influence somebody to say something, to do something. He's always trying to influence, making someone think something, look something some way. You ever had somebody look at you, get up and say, man, I didn't like that look. How many know that'll influence you? Because you got your own look. Let's see who can look the meanest. And then that'll usually go to something verbal. You know how the influence works. We're not fighting people. I said we're not fighting people. That's hard for us to accept, but it's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And when you know this, you'll respond. You respond differently to your wife. You respond differently to your husband. You respond differently to your workers, etc. You're dealing with demonic influence, designed to steer you away from what Jesus has done on the cross and away from the sinless blood of Christ. Always trying to steer you away, influence you away from God and what God has. We've all been there and done that and probably got a room full of t-shirts. Huh? Has he steered you away from what God wants and God has? Think about the years. Think about the choices and the things that, man, I've been under the influence. He steered me right away. He steered me away for 10 years. And I thought it was people, but it was demonic spirits working through people. Thank God, God was still there. I left, but he didn't. Woo. I left, but he didn't. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. That's God. That's a God we serve. Amen. Woo. He was there all the time. Waiting, the song says, patiently in line. A line that I wasn't in. Huh? Yeah. He's there to steer us away from holiness, healing. It's not just natural how people are. They're being influenced by Satan. We got to understand that. Amen. Satan has a strategic plan to steer you away. And we got to recognize when he's doing it. Because his ability is limited to what he can suggest and how he can influence you. His ability is limited to what he can suggest to you and influence you to do. The Lord spoke to a little devotional last week and said, one of the prayers was, you can take care of the devil's strategy by prayer. You got to have a strategy better than his. Because let me tell you, he's got a strategy for every one of us. And it ain't good. And you already know that because you've been through some not so good things. That's putting it mildly. That's an understatement. If you were closer, Pastor, I'd slap you. That's such an understatement. That's why I stand up here and you sit out there. Amen. That's why I have two doors here, because I can escape quick, amen, if I have to. Hallelujah. So it's limited to what your conception, how it can influence you. How many, well, think about the hurt you can carry. Think about the pain you can carry. The response is wrong. He took our pains. He took our hurts. Casting all your care on him, because he careth for you. People in jail right now because their response was wrong. Huh? And how many know it's not just the physical jails, but spiritual jails? What would happen if they had said, no, I'm not falling for that. That's demonic influence, and I'm not going to fall for that. That okie doke. Got to realize the enemy has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy. And now what God wants us to know is that we have a mastery over that ability. Say, I have mastery over that ability. Yeah, and Satan, we put you on notice this day that we're not fighting people. Our wrestling match is against you. Hallelujah. And we have mastery over you. We have mastery over you in the name of Jesus. Now see, there's something about confession. You say, well, it seems like he has mastery over me right now in my situation. But you see, confession is a beautiful thing because confession doesn't say you're lying. Confession says you're speaking what the word says, what Jesus said. And how many know that your experience will catch up to your confession? With his stripes, I'm healed. I'm in pain right now. Everything says I'm not healed, but the Bible says I'm healed, so I'll confess what God said because everybody else may be confessing something else. And, oh, that's where the devil wants to get us to. He wants to get people to tell us things. We have to be careful what we tell other people because sometimes the devil can use us to influence. So we got to pick these things up and make sure we don't entertain them sometimes. How many know we all like sympathy? But compassion is what we need. Jesus had compassion. Jesus says, I hurt where you hurt, but I know what to do to fix the hurt. Sympathy says, man, I'm really sorry you're in that. Ain't a thing I can do, you poor, sorry thing. Sympathy's good, but not as good as compassion. Compassion will do something about it. Compassion says, man, I'm sorry you're in there and you're having to beg and all that, but compassion will say, I feel the Lord wanting me to give you something, give you a dollar. Help you out. I mean, no, I'd rather err on the side of maybe hitting somebody that didn't need it and playing the game than pass a whole bunch of people that did need it. The Bible says you got to be careful because you can entertain angels unawares. Sometimes God will just test us. God will just see where we're at. But the Bible says he that has compassion on the poor, God says he will repay him. He will repay her. Amen. We're not doing it for that reason, but God wants you to know that it's a good thing to have a heart of compassion. You still there? Got you on notice, Satan. We're not fighting people. This match is against you, and we have mastery over you in the name of Jesus. Now, I may not have complete mastery. The Bible says I do, but I'm working on it. I said I'm working on it. And one thing that about this compassion that God really, remember the little story about the fig tree and the fig tree that was supposed to have some figs? Remember that?
I can find it.
say he's got it. We always know he had it. And when he acted like he didn't. Jesus sees the fig tree. We talked about that. The leaves are there, but there's no fruit. But on trees like figs, figs, when they have leaves, they're supposed to have fruit. A fig tree. So Jesus sees it, says, and the fig tree's down on him. He's saying, you know what? He says, I just got leaves and you ain't eating nothing today. That's like the devil. And Jesus, the Bible says in verse 14 of Mark 11, he says, and Jesus said unto it. How many know we got to talk to some its? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes your wallet might talk to you and say, good morning, but nothing is in me yet. Don't you know? How are you going to eat lunch today? So if we don't learn to talk to our its, they're going to talk to us. So Jesus talks to it. He didn't talk to anybody else, didn't talk to the farmer, didn't talk to the planter. He talked to the fig tree. We got to talk to the right its. I got to talk to the right thing. Heart, 4% ain't good enough. Now, how the hell if I can get with that? You coming up. Come on. And so Jesus says to the fig tree, he speaks a negative word to it. He says he curses it. You didn't know Jesus cursed? Some of you went, some of you woke up right there. Says he cursed the fig tree. Curse means just to speak a negative word. How many know you're cursing every time you speak a negative word about somebody, about yourself? You're cursing yourself, and you're cursing them. And that's why James said, how come bitter water and sweet water come out of the same fountain? Something wrong with that. You just cursed whoever that was. How many have cursed some people pretty good? We won't ask how close they are to you, but I bet they're real close. Because we all speak some negative words, do we not? Yeah, oh yeah. Somebody get it. Thank you, brother. Thanks for feeling me there. Everybody else like they ain't said nothing negative. I wasn't feeling nothing from them. Amen. And so he says, so in the morning they come back. They went on to Bethany or where it was, Jerusalem. About 24 hours later, they come back by this fig tree, and the disciples make a note. They said, oh, man, they said, look at that fig tree. It's dried up from the roots. I mean, no, they didn't see that immediately. When Jesus spoke the negative word, they didn't see it immediately. But just because you don't see it immediately, feel it immediately, doesn't mean your authority didn't work. Come on. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, we don't see immediate results. We think it didn't work and we give up on it. No, we spoke it. Hallelujah. That's the authority God has given us. Amen. I don't care if I see it or feel it. God said it. That's what he said. And that's how it's going to be. And I don't care if I never see it. It's still a done deal. Hallelujah. Woo. And I tell you, you can walk in that. The devil can't do much with that. He can do it a lot if you stop. They didn't see it immediately. Doesn't mean your authority didn't work. You know, I've heard brother say, I speak a 24-hour manifestation on you. Said, I speak a 24-hour manifestation on you. Manifestation of the word that you're speaking, that you're believing for. Ooh. Glory to God. Touch somebody next to you and say, I speak a 24-hour manifestation of blessing over your life, of healing over your life, of prosperity over your life. Everything Jesus died to give us. Don't you ever walk away because you didn't see it right then, instantly, and think it didn't happen. Are you hearing me? Mark 11 says, whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed. Say to the mountain, to that thing in your way, said to the mountain, we got to start speaking to the right thing. It shall be removed. Hallelujah. Authority is released by words. Amen. Let me close. You got to let me close. God wants us to know. We got mastery. Put the devil on notice. Because his suggestions, you'll get a suggestion. The suggestion will be you're not healed because of the evidence of the symptoms still there. You'll get a suggestion you're not going to be prosperous. Look at you. Look at you're this, you're that. You'll never be prosperous. You ought to just hang it up. You ought to forget it. But the problem is we're speaking to God about it, and nothing's happened. Because we're speaking to God that's already given us the authority, remember? So we need to speak to the problem about our God. Even more, if he can get a person to say it to you, that's first stage. Then get someone close to you to say it to you, that's the next stage. He will always try to influence you through people, even through somebody you really love, because people you don't know really can't hurt you. Come on. Really care too much about what you say. I don't know you. Jerk. Oh, no, you don't say that. It's influence. Somebody say it's influence. It's not people. It's influence. It's what's behind us. What's influencing that person? Do you get the influence part today? And your response is different if you start recognizing it's not people. It's that demonic influence. We got to deal with the demonic influence because it's dealing with us. It's been dealing with us for a long time. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of what it's seen doing to you, doing to me, and anybody else. People say something and try to get you to say something, trying to get you to go there, and you recognize that's demonic influence. How many know they'll try to get you to go there? People say something, and you recognize the influence. Otherwise, if you don't, you'll let the temptation would be to say, da-da-da-da-da, and you'll say, oh, no, you didn't. And then blankety-blankety-blank. Amen. I may know you're under the influence. Now you're both under the influence. We started out with one this morning under the influence. Now we have two. One got up on the wrong side of bed under the influence. Now they got the other one under the influence. Uh-huh. And how many know misery loves company? If I'm under the influence, you're going under the influence. And I'll give you a mean look until you do. Come on. Until I get a response out of you. Until I provoke you. Until you say, what's your problem? And then they say back, you. That's my problem. And God's going to get you. Now we got two for the price of one. Amen. How many know God's saying, step into your God-given authority. Step into your God-given authority. Start exercising it. We may not do it all right, but start exercising it. Because get away from this influence. The wrong influence. We got too many stuff influencing us. Amen. Let me close. Second closing. Last one. And I'm so serious about it. Stand up. You will only stand for at least an hour. Don't worry. When you fall over the seat, we'll know you're in a Pentecostal church. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. This was this morning, April 3rd. How many know it's April 3rd? How many thought it was April 1st? This was in the little John Eckhart's best-selling author I've read before, Prayers That Rout Demons. I may know we need some prayers that rout demons because we got to deal with the demonic. We are dealing with it because it's dealing with our world. Daily Declarations for Spiritual Warfare, Biblical Principles to Defeat the Devil. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to have dinner, aren't we? The Lord's Supper. As they prepare, it's entitled Beware of the Satan's Host of Lying and Deceiving Spirits. Somebody say, beware of Satan's host of lying and deceiving spirits. Here is the devotion. It says, submit yourself to me, capital me, God, and resist the devil. I mean, if you don't resist the devil, he won't be resisted. Sometimes we got to resist the devil. More than one time, we got to resist that temptation, that feeling, that influence. I resist you, devil. I know where you want me to go. I know you want me to get involved in this fight. With flesh and blood. I refuse to go there. I resist you. And the Bible says if you resist him, he'll flee from you. He says he'll flee in terror. We got to do more resisting. Resist that impulse. Resist that influence. Resist that temptation to fight flesh and blood. Somebody ought to be listening to me this morning. Because the enemy is having a field day. He's tearing up your house. Tearing up your relationship. Because all you know how is a fight in the flesh. And I'm not criticizing you or condemning you. I'm just saying, we don't know. We don't know we got authority. We don't know how to use it. We got it. We don't know what to do with it. But I know what to do with this club, this 2x4. I know what to do with your food. I know what to do with this pillow after you fall asleep. You ought to treat your wife real good, sir. And you shouldn't go to bed angry because you do want to wake up in the morning. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself. Some of us ain't submitted to nothing but us. And we ain't even submitted to us. If you don't think that's to you, look at the fight going on. Submission, that's a dirty word. I don't care if it's submission to one another, submission to the to God. We'd almost submit to the devil rather than submit to anything else. Come on. You know why we would rather submit to the devil and what he wants us to say and do? Is because the flesh feels good with it. Yeah, I like that. That was a perfect thing to say back to you. You dog. Oh, I couldn't hold it back. I couldn't hold it back. It was right there on the tip of my tongue. Ah, God, I got to get it out. It was too good to let go. Amen. And you deserve it so much, too. Amen. You're such a. Somebody's getting this message. Submit yourself to God. How many know you're never going to submit yourself one to another until you do it to God? Submit your tongue. Preacher said, come and bring your tongues on the altar. Lay them out there. But you don't know, Pastor. You don't know. You don't know. And then the preacher said, I don't know, but he says, get your if, ands, and buts down to the altar too. Oh, you couldn't take that one. Okay, it's all right. He didn't mean it that way, but submit yourselves to me and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He has to go if you will resist him. It may take a little while, but you keep resisting. Be self-controlled. Right. And alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Say, oh, she's a tasty morsel. He's a nice bite. He's roaming around. Oh, yeah. Resist him and stand firm in the faith. Remember that you do not struggle against flesh and blood or natural enemies. I didn't get this till this morning early, folks. This was a confirmation of the message God already gave me. I may know if God confirms a word, it's a word from God and a word we should take to heart, and I'm sure you are. Satan masquerades as an angel of light and will cause your enemies to try to destroy my light in your life. He's trying to snuff out the light you do have with the darkness they have. Whew. Rebuke him in my power. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you and the Lord rebuke you. Rebuke him in my power and authority and instruct him to flee, to stay away from you. Stay away from me, devil. I'm warning you, stay away from me. I'm going to pound your head in saying you don't stay away from me. I'm going to get so much word on you. Our prayer declaration, can we pray it together as we come to the table? Pray it with me. Away from me, Satan, for I will worship the Lord my God and serve him only. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. My Lord has given me the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Hear it, devil! Hear it loud and clear! And nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing shall by any means, no way, hurt me. Oh, you may hurt me with what you say, but I'm not going to be hurt the way I could be if I responded to that. God will heal that hurt. So really, in the long run, it's not going to hurt me because I already determined it's not about me anyway. Are you hearing me? It's about him. If they try to hurt you, they're trying to hurt him. It's not about you. It's not about me. God makes it about us, but in a different way. It's about him. What they do to you is doing to him. They don't even know. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're doing it against him. Don't take it personal. I used to take things personal, the pastor, in my early years. God took God trying to say, it's not about you. What are you taking it personal for? It's about me. They said it to you, but they meant it to me. They can't get a hold of me, but they can get a hold of you. Their fight is with me, but their arms are too short to box me. So they're going to fight with you because we were made to be fighters and warriors. And if we don't fight the real devil, we'll fight each other. I'll find somebody to fight with. I'll pick an argument. Come on, you know that's true. If you're lazy and you don't fight the right fight, the fight of faith, and fight the right devil, you'll pick a fight with your wife or your husband or somebody else. I got to shut it down, I know. Are you getting any help? How many know we aim to win this battle? I said we aim to win this battle. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now as we come to the table. And Lord, I bind every devil that's kicking against this right now. In the name of Jesus, we cast out devils. I said we cast out devils. You can't pray them out, we cast them out. We cast every devil that's trying to hurt us, harm us, everything that concerns us. And in the name of Jesus, he said, those that believe shall cast out devils. Mark 16:17. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. Speak in your prayer language more than you ever have, child of God. If you don't have a prayer language, get filled with the Spirit. Oh God. Now bless, Father, this word. Thank you for each and every one here today. Help them, Father, with the storms of life. And Lord, bring them through safely to the other side. You promised to go over to the other side with the disciples. Take them over. Somebody shout, take me over, Lord. Take me over to the other side. Don't let me drown in the middle of this lake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Give the Lord a praise offering. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Play that softly as we dismiss today. Would you like?
Amen. Father, we praise you. We thank you for today. Yes. We thank you, Lord, that you are our safe harbor, Father. We thank you that in every storm, we can trust in you, we can lean on you, and we can depend upon you. So, Father, as we leave today, rejoicing in the name of Jesus, may there be traveling mercies over each one here today, Father. Use them in a special way this week, Father, to speak your word, to speak encouragement, to speak love, to be an anchor that is holding on to you, to anchor those that don't know you, Father. Let us be a witness to them, that they would come to know the safe harbor of Jesus Christ. As we go today, go and... Well, hallelujah. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name today, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Pastor has a word. Yeah.
I just feel like I should open up the altars for those that might want to have a word of prayer. The elders are here. If you'd like special prayer today, I just slip out of your seat while they play the song. And God bless you today. Thank you for coming. We do want to close the service, though, with those that would like a word of prayer. So if you'd like prayer, just slip out of your seat. We'll be glad to pray with you today. I feel like I should offer you the opportunity to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody good? Everybody's good. Okay, you were on a roll there, sweetheart. Amen. God bless you and God be with you. Thank you. God bless you and may the lily in your valley, may it keep blooming all the time. Amen. I love you. Thank you for coming.